you have opened your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 28. I'm going to read this to you. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 28. This is something Jesus says. He's in the middle of a conversation with his disciples. His disciples are really just his first followers. And so then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Now, before we even go any further, I want you to pause for a second. How many of you know that Jesus died on a cross? How many of you have heard that before? Most folks have. This is not surprising. And so we have this sort of glamorized view of what crosses are all about. Jesus' followers, when he said this, had no idea he was going to die on a cross in just a few short months. The only thing that they knew was that the cross was a really gross, disgusting way that the foreigners who had taken over the land executed people, mostly who were political leaders who were trying to start revolutions. But it was just a gross, nasty way to be executed for really bad crimes. And so Jesus says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Hang on to that question, by the way. If you've ever wondered how important you are to God, that sentence right there answered it. There is nothing in the entire world that God thinks is more important or more valuable than your soul. I think that's awesome. Is there anything worth more than your soul? The obvious answer is no. For the Son of Man, Jesus talks about himself that way sometimes, the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. And I will tell you, I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Jesus is talking about sacrifice, and he's going to then live out his talk about sacrifice so that we don't get confused. Sometimes we think when we're talking about spiritual stuff that somehow it's like symbolic or like philosophical or something, and Jesus wants us to know that when he talks about sacrifice, he is talking about the nitty-gritty everyday way of living life, that he's talking about something super practical, super everyday, something that is very real and down to earth. And he demonstrates this for us by actually allowing himself to actually be murdered on an actual cross. So whenever you think Jesus might be talking about something that's kind of, you know, philosophical or just in our heads or just about the way we feel, remember that when Jesus talks about sacrifice, he's going to back that up with some very concrete bloody actions in just a few months. And so with that in mind, we want to ask ourselves, what is sacrifice all about? And I want to distinguish between two things, and those things are suffering and sacrifice. Suffering and sacrifice. You see, just because you get hurt doesn't mean that you have sacrificed something. Just because you suffer doesn't mean that you have sacrificed something. Just because things went badly in your life doesn't mean you have sacrificed something. There's a major difference, and I want to give you, I like equations. And so I want to give you an equation tonight. If you're going to write down one thing, if you're going to take a note on one thing, I want you to take a note of this one equation, because this is the whole point of the night. It is this, it is that suffering plus purpose equals sacrifice. Suffering plus purpose equals sacrifice. What's the difference between just randomly suffering and actually sacrificing? It is suffering for a purpose. It is giving up something that costs you for a good and worthy reason. So let's talk about that. First and foremost, let's talk about the suffering. I want to answer three questions tonight about sacrifice. We're going to spend the next couple of weeks on this. So this is really just an introductory idea of what sacrifice is all about. The first question is, what is it that God is asking us to sacrifice? What is it that we are going to suffer? And Jesus has three comments in here that I think are amazing. First of all, at the very beginning, in the very first verse, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Does anybody have their own way in life? Like your own way of doing things, your own way of wanting things, your own way of preferring things. I have my own way on just about everything. There is almost nothing that I don't have a way that I think it ought to be done. We have to be really careful as parents. I don't mean we in general. I mean, like, I have to be really careful as a parent because my kids can be doing something in a perfectly reasonable way, and I want to say, no, that's not the way to do it. You know, my son came up to me this morning, day two of school this morning, and he had a whole bunch of division homework, and so he came up to me this morning and was like, Dad, I think I'm supposed to be doing this homework, and it's division, and I don't remember how to do it. And so he had tried it out, and honestly, he had done fine, and his way was perfectly fine, and it wasn't quite the way I would have gone about it. I would have written it out a little bit differently, and it was so tempting to say, no, that's not the way you do it. Do it my way instead, when his way was fine. We all have our own way of doing things, in little things and in big things. How many times have I been driving with somebody and wanted to tell them, no, don't go that way, go this way. And then I paused and realized, no, you know what, they'll both get you there. It's fine, just do whatever you want, doesn't matter. Right? Like, we all have our own way of wanting to do just about everything in our lives. And the very first thing that Jesus invites us to sacrifice is our own way. Inside of our own way, we find wrapped up in there our rights. Have you ever thought about all the things you have a right to? A right to certain pleasures, a right to certain conveniences, a right to certain opportunities, a right to certain futures, a right to certain things that you have. Our whole American government is built on this system that everybody has inalienable rights. And it's fascinating to me because Jesus doesn't argue with that at all. As a matter of fact, he just kind of avoids the question of whether certain things are your right or not your right, because he invites you to stop thinking about what your rights are, and he invites you to sacrifice those rights. That's part of sacrificing your way, is sacrificing your rights. But it's also about sacrificing your future, your goals, and your plans. I hope that you have goals and plans, but you also have to be ready to sacrifice those things, whatever you want to do. Many of you know that before I decided to become a pastor, I was 100% convinced that I was going to go into computer technology. That was the field, into programming. As a matter of fact, the last couple of days, I have gotten to spend a whole bunch of time doing this fairly complicated computer project, and I can barely tear myself away from it because I love technology. I love computers. I love the fact that there is a guaranteed solution to the problem when you're working with a computer. All I have to do is think hard enough, research long enough, and I will find it. It's guaranteed. You know, with people, it's not that easy, is it? You can't guarantee there's always a solution. When you're dealing with somebody's real everyday life, sometimes there's an easy and straightforward solution, and sometimes there isn't. But man, when I'm dealing with a computer, it warms my heart because there's always a solution. I just have to find it. And I love that process of trying to search out the answers. And so I had this plan for my life, and then God called me in a completely different direction. We have plans and goals in our lives, and part of giving up my way, the invitation to sacrifice. And hear me on this. When God invites us, when Jesus invites us to sacrifice, I want you to notice that it is not quite a command to sacrifice, because sacrifice has to be done freely, right? Sacrifice has to be done freely. So when Jesus invited me to become a pastor, would I have been sinning if I went about my business and kept doing what I had been planning on doing, literally had like the college applications filled out on my desk at my house? Would I have been sinning to go ahead and follow that route? No, not really. It's not like it was a moral issue. Jesus invited me to sacrifice my future. It's not that I would have been sinning. It's just that I would have been missing out. Do you see the difference? The invitation to sacrifice is not a moral issue. Jesus isn't telling you that you are a bad person if you don't sacrifice. He's just informing you that you'll be missing out if you don't sacrifice. There's a difference there. So, first and foremost, he invites us to sacrifice our own way. And then he goes on to say, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. He invites us to give up, as if that was not enough, my own way of doing things. He broadens it out to say, your life. Everything about your life is on the table. Jesus is inviting you to sacrifice your time, your energy, your efforts, your safety, your security. He's inviting you to sacrifice those things. Now, immediately when I say that, I think to myself, yes, but I have a right to my schedule. But I have a family, and I need to make sure that I am keeping my family safe. Man, I've got to guard my energy. There's a lot of things that I could be doing, and if I do too many things, I won't do any of them well, and I really do think all of that. But I also have to remember that I am invited to sacrifice my life. Again, I'm not being told that I'm a horrible human being if I don't or something like that. I'm being invited to sacrifice my life because Jesus is convinced that if I will sacrifice, I will gain something greater. If I don't sacrifice, I will be missing out on something. The scary thing about sacrifice is you don't find out what that something is until after you do the sacrificing. This is, in some ways, the worst possible plan God could have ever come up with. I need to chat with him when I go to heaven about what he was thinking. I feel like sacrifice would be a whole lot easier if there would be a giant sign in advance specifically telling me what it is that I would gain if I would sacrifice, but there isn't. It's not that clear, is it? But there are some answers to this. There are some answers to this. And this is the second question. This is the purpose. I told you that suffering plus purpose is equal to sacrifice. Before we get there, though, there's one other thing. It does get worse before it gets better. Later on, Jesus says, what is it worth if you lose the whole world? What is it worth if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? The implication is the third thing he's inviting you to sacrifice is the whole world. Sometimes what God, we're in being invited to sacrifice. Does anybody actually have possession of the whole world right now? I do not, but there's something amazing about it when Jesus says that. There's a whole lot of things I know that I do have. I have safety, I have security, I have possessions, I have all sorts of things. And I am reminded by this your life language that Jesus makes that what I do in fact have is on the table. I'm being invited to sacrifice all of that. But then there's other things. There's things that in the deepest place in my heart, I envy when other people have them. There are things I wish I had. And all of that can be summed up in the whole world. And Jesus invites us to sacrifice those things as well, not just the things we do have, the things we wish we had, not just the things we have control over today, but the things we want. And Jesus says, all of that's on the table. I can invite you, and I do invite you to sacrifice all of that. Because if you do, it will be better. So why? Suffering plus purpose equals sacrifice. What's the purpose? Jesus gives us two big purposes for sacrifice. The first is your soul. Your soul. Is anything worth more than your soul? What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? The assumption is nothing. What is your soul? We talked about this a few weeks ago. If you've been with us for the last couple of months, we spent a whole series of weeks, 4 weeks, really digging into who we are as people, and we talked about our soul. And just to simply summarize, I think that the soul is the deepest part of you. It is the part of you that first defines you and second governs you. It is the soul that is the most unique image of God that you have. It is the thing that is the most you. It is the thing that bears your identity most fundamentally. If I cut my hair, I'm still Joshua. Honestly, if I were to lose an arm, I'd still be Joshua. I have watched several times as people develop things like Alzheimer's. And what's fascinating to me is that in the midst of that, they're still them. Something about who they are remains at the core of their being. Even if their thinking isn't quite working or their feeling isn't quite working. And that self, that soul may be obscured, but it's not gone. There is something deeper than our mind and our heart that makes us who we are. And that thing is our soul. And so, The purpose of sacrifice is not, and this is important, it is not a promise that if you sacrifice your plans to Jesus, they will actually turn out the way you had hoped. It is not a promise that if you sacrifice your energy to Jesus, you will end up having more energy and it will all go well for you. It is not a promise that if you sacrifice your safety to Jesus, you will actually turn out to be safe and secure in better and bigger ways. It is not a promise that if you sacrifice your possessions to Jesus, you will end up with more or better possessions. Those are all possible. But our model for sacrifice is always Jesus. Jesus sacrificed those things and he died. So what is it that we are promised? We are promised a soul that is clean and pure and healthy. And think about what this means for a moment. So much of our lives are spent on these two questions. Who am I and how can I be free? Right? Who am I and how can I be free? And it is the soul at the deepest level that answers these questions. You see, without Jesus, we have desires and appetites that lead us around in circles. We have desires and appetites and interests and wants and longings that when we get what we want, it harms us. Anybody ever been in that moment in their life where you get the very thing you were going for and it messed you up? Isn't that the worst? That is proof that we need Jesus because our soul is sick. The very element within us that defines who we are and is supposed to give us control over our own lives is so sick and broken that when we try to act in the world, we bring harm to ourselves. When we try to establish, have you ever done this? You try to establish who you are in a situation and you hurt everybody around you and realize you made an idiot of yourself. Has anybody done that where you're like, we call it like, it's bad boundaries, but it's trying to have good boundaries, right? And it gets all sorts of messy, and this is all because our soul is so broken. What Jesus promises us is that if we will surrender, if we will sacrifice all these things, he will work inside of our souls so that instead of our souls being like, have you ever seen that picture of the snake that is looping around and eating its own tail? Has anybody ever seen this picture? This is a profound image of our desires and our own soul. We are so broken that we are destroying ourselves. And God's promise is that if you will sacrifice those things, it gives him room to get into your soul, to heal it and restore it and transform it so that you can have a clear sense of who you are. God wants you to have a clear identity where you like yourself because you are confident that Jesus likes yourself. He wants to give you a clear sense of who you are that allows you to walk in confidence every single day of your life. And then he wants to give you a clear capacity to govern yourself, to say yes to the things that are good for you and no to the things that aren't good for you. This doesn't mean that whatever I think controls who I am. Doesn't mean that whatever I feel controls who I am. It doesn't mean that all of my thoughts suddenly are good thoughts. It doesn't mean that all my feelings are suddenly good feelings. It means that by the power of the Spirit of God, I'm able to look at my feelings and say, I reject that one, I accept that one. I acknowledge that they're all feelings, but that feeling will lead me in the wrong direction, so I'm going to say no, thank you. That feeling is going to lead me in the right direction, I'm going to say yes, please. It means I get to say this, do the same thing with my mind. See, this is one of the fascinating things we do is some people, they try to say, you know what, you need to, your mind is going to lead you astray, just follow your heart. And those people end up destroying their lives. And then other people say, you know what, the heart is dangerous, just let your mind lead you and you'll be okay. And the Bible takes a different tack. It says that a restored soul will be able to lead the mind and the heart in the right direction, and that's how we're supposed to live. And that's what God promises you. Can you start to see why God thinks that your soul is of infinite value? because it is your soul that allows you to be the unique individual that God designed you to be. And it is your soul that allows you to function as that unique individual in the world. What God longs for you is not necessarily for you to be rich or not rich, not necessarily for you to be safe or not safe. What God longs for you is for you to uniquely be the person he created you to be, the person he envisioned you to be from the day you were born. And if you allow him access to your soul through sacrifice, you can become that person. And so it is your soul that God promises you. But there's something else. It's not just that we're called to sacrifice so that we can get restored in our soul, but we are called to sacrifice because there is a kingdom that is coming. There is a kingdom, and you are either in it or you aren't. Jesus is very clear about this. There is a very real kingdom. We all know about society and politics and all of those things, and this is beyond American society. This is beyond national or local politics. There is a whole society with a government at its head that those who are in this new society, who are under this new government, they are the people of God. And Jesus steps into the role of king over this kingdom. And he begins a revolution as a king with a history-transforming sacrifice. And from that time on, sacrifice has been the currency of the kingdom of God. I want you to grab this phrase. Sacrifice is the currency of the kingdom of God. What do I mean by that? I'm going to say this over and over again, so I want to make sure you understand. In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to say this over and over and over again. When you are dealing with a whole bunch of random things and you are trying to compare their value, when you're trying to assign them value, for example, this week I looked on Amazon at watches and I paid for a dumpster. The dumpster, which I don't even get to keep, by the way, I get to fill it with garbage and then it goes away. That is all I get. They're not even going to fill it for me. I just get to put the garbage in it, and then it disappears from my property like magic. That privilege is going to cost me $650. That's a lot of money, because it's all brick. The watch I looked at, which I can keep, which I will be able to wear every day for the rest of my life, which is mine in perpetuity until I lose it, was $21. $21 for a watch I get to wear forever. $650 for a dumpster. This is awesome. If it is on my property for more than 10 days, they start charging me by the day for the privilege of having their dumpster for more days. So I better use it quick. Then I better call them and tell them to take it away. What makes the watch worth, whatever, $21? And the dumpster, how do you compare the value of a dumpster and a watch? This is complicated. And we have all sorts of things. We have like pianos and clothes and shoes and TVs. And how do we compare the value of all of these things? The way that we decide to do this as a culture is that we convert everything into currency, right? So it's not how many watches is a dumpster worth. Right, that would be a complicated question. It's not how many pairs of shoes could I buy for the price of one Vizio TV, however many inches that is. We just convert everything into dollars. That way we can decide their relative worth and value. Does this make sense? You with me so far? And that thing that we convert everything into, dollars, that's a currency. Currency is a medium of exchange to help us understand the relative value of various things and to understand what we're willing to give up in order to get something. I am not willing. I saw a watch that I loved that was only $250, which is in the realm of watches, not really that much money. But I'll be honest, I'm not paying $250 for a watch. I just don't like watches that much. I am unwilling to pay $250 for a watch. I have no problem. If somebody else wants to, that's great, whatever. Like, I know, whatever. But I personally, unwilling. So it gives me the ability to answer that question. Is it worth it? What else could I, because this is what I asked, right? What else could I, man, that's, I could buy, like, how many $21 watches would that be? That's a lot. I could buy a whole lot of watches for $250 if I wanted to. I could do a lot. So anyway, what is the currency? What is the medium of exchange? How do you determine the worth or value of something in the kingdom of God? The currency of the kingdom of God is sacrifice. So, for example, if we ask ourselves, what is your value in the kingdom of God? How much are you personally worth? Well, God set the value for your soul thusly. He decided that it would be worth his time to show up as a human being, allow himself to be beaten like a common criminal, and then executed because he decided that your soul was so valuable that he would give up his life for it. His sacrifice determines your value. His sacrifice for you determines what you are worth. Let's flip that around. How much is spiritual growth worth to you? I don't answer that by talking to you. I answer that by watching you. I don't answer that by asking how much emotion do you put into the words when you talk about Jesus. I don't answer that by asking, by thinking to myself, how many complicated spiritual words do you know? I don't answer that question in any of those ways. If I want to know in my own life or in your life, and I'm honestly not walking around asking this question about you, I really just tend to ask it about myself. If I want to know how much, because I say this all the time, I think to myself, man, I want to know Jesus more. Man, I want to connect with Jesus on a deeper level than I ever have before. Then I have to look at my week and say, do I really? What have I been willing to sacrifice this week for that? Do I really? How much am I willing to pay for a deeper relationship with Jesus? What am I willing to sacrifice? Am I willing to sacrifice time? Am I willing to sacrifice the way people look at me because I have to say no to stuff? Am I willing to sacrifice finances? Am I willing to sacrifice? What am I willing to sacrifice to go deeper with Jesus this week? Which leads us to our final question, very simply, how do we sacrifice? Suffering plus purpose equals sacrifice. So how do you sacrifice? Jesus gives us two hints. He says, take up your cross. Crosses back in Jesus' day were embarrassing. They were socially unacceptable. They were inconvenient, and they were very, very permanent. No one ever got on a cross and then got off it again, except for being dead. Jesus invites us to identify and accept sacrifice in our life. And so we just take a moment and we actually self-assess. What are the ways that I might be able to sacrifice for Jesus in real time, in real life, this week, that would give me the opportunity to go deeper with him, give me the opportunity to have more time, more finances, to risk? We talked about risk for several weeks. What do I need to do to create opportunity for me to risk in my life? That's sacrifice. So I need to identify. The first step is to identify and accept. And this is important. We'll talk more about this in coming weeks. Take up your cross. Nobody's going to nail the cross to you. You have to volunteer for sacrifice. Jesus can point it out and say, yeah, there's a cross right over there. Yep, you could sacrifice in your life, and here's the way. A lot of you already, you're like thinking, I know how I could sacrifice in my life. This is not hard. I just don't want to do it, and I understand. But what Jesus will never do is force the sacrifice on you because it would miss the whole point. It would have no effect on your soul if it was forced. And so he invites you to take it up voluntarily. And then he invites you to follow him. He says, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus' own sacrifice, Jesus' own cross, was not a knee-jerk decision done in the heat of the moment. What I don't want you to do is like randomly just go out and do some random thing tonight that's disconnected from the rest of your life. Jesus didn't just randomly sacrifice. He had a whole plan that he was working for years in his life. It was a plan that he had prayed hard about, that he was deeply deliberate about, that he was intentionally voluntary about, and that he was willing, he had counted the cost of. And so when being crucified hurt, he went through with it. When being whipped was not fun, he went through with it. And when he was being abandoned by his friends, he went through with it because he'd counted the cost. He knew what it would take, and so he was genuinely prepared to go through with the sacrifice. So we can identify and accept and volunteer for our cross, and we can be intentional and deliberate and prayerful in our sacrifice. So we're inviting God to answer these questions. What is it that God is inviting us to sacrifice tonight? What is the suffering that he's inviting us to? What is the purpose of that suffering? Why is this sacrifice and not just suffering in our lives? And what do I need to do to make that happen? What do I need to do to choose that sacrifice in my life? I'll talk a lot about more about sacrifice over the next couple of weeks. And I want to challenge you. I will tell you this. I really do believe that when we sacrifice for God, something amazing happens in our lives. We are opening ourselves up to God doing something great. And I'm excited to see what that'll be in your life and in mine. But like I said, we don't get to find out what it is until we make the leap.